Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JAS call on the Friday, the 29th of October. We have Evan Leibovich, Boudouin Chambert, Tony Harris, Carlos Aguirre, Sébastien Bachelet, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Tijani Benjamin, Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Carla Valente, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies today from Alex Gakuru and from Avery Doria. We are also shortly expecting Dave Kisundwayel on this call. If I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Evan.
Okay, excellent. And Dave is with us in the Adobe chat room, so I hope he will be here. Okay, so what I'd like to do is go through the current draft that Carla has circulated, essentially incorporating a lot of the suggestions that have gone in, along with a lot of little cosmetic cleanups, as I understand it. So my goal right now is to essentially go over the things that have been defined as by Carla as needing more clarification, and then get to the one area of the document that we really haven't paid much attention to, which is the FAQ. So what I'd like to do then is, before I go any further, in keeping with the request, is there anybody here who has had an update in their status that would affect their SOI? If there is, please say something within the next 15 or so seconds to indicate. Otherwise, I'll take silence as no change. Okay, thank you for the moment of silence. I guess we take that as no changes. And to Jenny, welcome to the call, and go ahead.
Yes, it's only a suggestion or proposal, not a proposal, an information. We already received from Carla what was proposed to the board by the staff. And I read it, and I understand very well the decision of the board. The board cannot decide otherwise, because what was presented to the board is exactly what he decided. So I wonder if we have to convince the board or to convince the staff.
That's a very useful and important point, and I guess it gets to the heart of why we asked for the staff's documentation in the first place. Well, there's a couple of ways to deal with this, one of which is to make a specific representation on behalf of the chairs of our two sponsoring bodies, to make a representation directly to the board. The other possibility is to create an executive summary that details things in one page for the board in such a way that we get to control that narrative and not the staff. I'm open to other suggestions of ways to deal with this. Cheryl, are you on the call?
I am indeed.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions how we can address the issue of staff filtering our output in a way that guides the board in a specific direction that is not necessarily what we wanted?
You probably need to do it in two ways, but the same information coming up in both. You need to go back to the two chartering organisations, in other words, address both the ALAC and the GNSO, and say what the workgroup believes is a difference in the output of the workgroup and the way that the output of the workgroup was filtered and presented to the board for information is a concern, and ask the two chartering organisations to address that in their own way. because we have the ability for the advisory committee involved, the ALAC, to have input directly into the board as a piece of advice. And you have the GNSO, I suspect, particularly concerned about how output from their policy development processes is being treated, and how the council can be ensured that what is happening in its due and proper processes internally in PDPs needs to be, full, frankly, and fearlessly, but without bias and intent passed on. The second approach, and one that I think is very timely. Sorry, can you hear me? There's an awful lot of noise online. Okay. Would be to copy that concern of the work group to the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, because one of the things that a number of constituency members and in some cases wholesale rank and file membership of constituencies or parts of ICANN have raised as a concern is that in the absence of knowing how their products are being presented to the board, in the absence of that being available to the community in at a point of time when they can make any complaint or redress about it if they don't feel that it's accurate, prior to decision, the matter of that timing needs to be considered. And as we know, whilst we have board books and things coming out retrospectively, there is, I guess, pushback from the community to ask why information and staff briefing information cannot be made available either at the time the board receives it or close to the time that the board receives it. So you've sort of got two aspects there. And you've got your liaisons, which need to be activated here to go back to the chartering organisations and raise these concerns to, in the case of the GNSO, the council, and in the case of the ALAC, the ALAC.
Now, our liaisons are Carlos and, I think, Rafiq?
Correct.
Okay. Both of them are on this call. Do any of you have anything to add at this point, and are you capable?
Yvonne?
Yes. Hi, Carlos.
Sorry, because I joined the call late. But my understanding is that you were talking about the ICANN board material.
Yes. Essentially the fact that the result of what we had done was heavily filtered and presented to the board in such a way that it really had no alternative but to make the resolution that it did. So the issue right now is how do we work to ensure that our message gets to the board without that level of filtering? And so one of the issues that's just now being raised by Cheryl is that our liaisons to the supporting organizations, structuring organizations, should be going back to those groups and ask their support, not only in advancing our position directly to the board, but also in advancing the entire issue about this to the ATRT in related to the of having the community input being brought to the board without having opinions inserted by staff in the interim. So,
okay, so
are you comfortable as the GNSO liaison with bringing this issue to council on two separate fronts, one being bringing to council the ability to submit directly to the board, perhaps as a PDP, this issue, so that can go directly without filtering by staff, and also that council could possibly deal with it as an ATRT issue.
Okay, as liaison, I will bring the issue to the council. Unfortunately, we had yesterday the conf call, but I will send by email the request to. So I will explain the situation to the council and what is the request exactly from the working group.
Okay. Carlos, as the ALAC liaison, are you comfortable with doing the same things at the ALAC level?
Yes, of course, Ivan.
Okay. So I'll be more than happy to work with the team. And perhaps this is something that could go as a subthread in the email list of in our email list of trying to figure out the best way to bring this forward to the supporting organizations and ultimately to the board and the ATRT. Cheryl, is it worthwhile at this point sending a letter to staff expressing our concern about the amount of staff filtering going into our recommendations?
I would assume that would be an output of the chartering organisation deliberation on this. If both of your liaisons can suggest that the chairs of the GNSO and the ALAC consider writing or looking at some form of mutual response, that could be included there.
Okay. So we'll take this up in the email list, and the action item out of this is that our liaisons, Carlos and Rafiq, will take back to their supporting organizations these initiatives, hopefully with the support and help of the rest of this group in making that happen. Jenny, does that sufficiently address your question? I mean, I do agree we need to move on this. It's serious. It's the reason why we asked for the briefing at no place.
Yes. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
You hear me? Okay.
Yes,
it addresses the issue, and we have to be careful for the future. Really, we don't have to submit anything without be sure that everything will be presented to the board in the right way.
Okay.
Even if it will be person by person, member by member, we have all relation with members, and we have to go to them and to present our output correctly.
Okay. Don't forget, Cartagena is coming up. There's going to be inter-body meetings where a lot of these things get to be expressed perhaps on a less formal level, so maybe we can do something with that. In the meantime, Sebastian, you did make a note about the ATRT in the Adobe Connect room. Did you want to add something?
Thank you, Evan. It's Cheryl covered it very good, very It was very good. I'll share coverage, and I don't have any words to add. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so having said this, we will move on to the contents of the document. What this is essentially the last version of the document that we were looking at on Tuesday, with the comments from Tuesday incorporated in, as well as some general grammatical and other cleanups by Carla. So what I want to do is go through quickly to the points that she has highlighted in yellow of things that we need to look at, and then also ultimately to get to the FAQ section, which I mentioned before is an area that we really haven't touched much in these discussions. I believe
Evan?
That we have achieved at least reasonable common ground and wording on most of the rest of the substance. Yes, Jenny, go ahead.
Evan?
This
is Tony Harris. I have a comment on something that's highlighted in yellow.
I was about to get to them one by one, but go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't mean to jump queue on this, but if you go to page 22, it says, for example, ICANN communicated that the 2001 round was to be followed soon by new rounds. Nevertheless, it is taking almost a decade for a new round to materialize.
Okay.
Well, that's not true. There was a round in 2004.
Can I ask you to hold on to that, because we're going to get to all the parts in yellow in sequence, and that's near the end of the document?
Sure. I'm sorry. I thought, you know, it was open to comments.
No problem. Okay. So, Tijani, you have your hand up. Go ahead. Tijani, the floor is yours.
Pardon?
The floor is yours. You had your hand up.
Yes, I am speaking. Do you hear me?
I do now.
Okay. I said that I want to understand what is the difference between the italic characters and the non-italic characters.
Carla, is there...
Hi. This is Carla. Well, it depends on where you are in the document. So, for example, some of the italic characters are quotations from text, like a board resolution or something else that we just copied, like the GAC, something else that we copied and pasted from somebody else's text. So it's under quotations and is in italic. And there was something else that are just as a highlight. So the italic was used really to highlight and to enhance either a quotation or to enhance some parts of the document, because throughout the document we have used a lot of bold and underline for like things like consensus, and so I needed to find an alternative to highlight some other things.
Okay.
Okay. The first item highlighted in yellow is on line 111 on page 5 of the document that is in the Adobe Connect room.
Sorry, Ivan. Yeah. Can I have, I can request something kindly. Can you please read those parts that we are going to talk about, because I don't have my PC and just I'm trying to follow with the,
okay,
with the phone.
Okay. No problem. Okay. So I'm calling your attention right now to line 111 and 112. And essentially, Carla has highlighted the term emerging markets / nation that appears here. Only the phrase emerging markets / nations are highlighted here. Carla, I am assuming that you're asking for a sense of definition or clarification of this term.
That's correct. Throughout the document, we use emerging markets, emerging nations, developing markets. We use different types of definition, and I remember having conversations in this group about trying to adopt some kind of standard definition, and that we could point to, say, for example, developing countries, we're using the definitions by the United Nations, and here is the link to what countries we are referring to.
Does anyone have any comment about any particular definition we should use? Should we just refer back to the UN definition? Or does anybody have a different yardstick they'd like to use for this? Sebastian, go ahead.
Yeah, I understand the question, but in fact, my question is that are we ready to have a list of countries where we agree upon here, or do we say something more vague and to be open to any discussion later or decision by a body who knows about the list we need to use?
It's my understanding, Sebastian, that if we use an existing definition such as the United Nations, the UN itself maintains a list of which countries fit into each definition. So, in effect, By using a term such as the UN definition of emerging economies, if you know, to use the definitions that do exist, it's indeed organizations like the UN that would in fact be deciding which countries fit into each category.
I understand this point, but I understand that it's better than it's somebody else taking care of the list of the country. But is it this list we would like to push? I know that it was it's something used in the guidebooks, and maybe you can say we use the same, but we didn't look into detail on that. I don't want to have any feedback saying that, hey, you make the wrong choice because my country, with developing country, is not on the list set up by the UN, and that's a wrong decision for domain names and so on and so forth. And if we take this decision, maybe we say why we take that as a decision, as a definition. Thank you.
Can I get in queue, Evan? This is Tony.
Okay, Tony, to Jenny first and then Tony.
Okay, I suggest that we use developing countries as defined by the United Nations. Because if we use another definition, another word that it is not defined, we may be in a gaming case. So the best, and essentially also because the Resolution 20 spoke about the developing countries, so we are in harmony with what the board decided.
Tony, go ahead, and then Carlo.
Yeah. Well, I agree with Johnny because emerging may not include countries that are not emerging, you know, that they're really underdeveloped. I think Johnny made a valid point.
Okay, and Carlo.
Hi, so we have a couple of options. One is we decide and adopt, you know, the United Nations list and say this is the list that we are recommending here for the applicants. The upside is that this list is very clear and is also backed up by the policy, because when the GNSO did the policy, they did mention the level 4 United Nations countries. We might want to revisit whether level 4 only, maybe level 3 too, because level 3 are more emerging markets and we talk about them in this document. So there's one way to do it, which is, yes, adopt that and, you know, be consistent throughout the document. Another way to do it is, you know, just our own definition and explain that our own definition is open to give flexibility for organizations that will be financing or will be providing aid in the future and their own programs. So that's my five cents to it.
Okay. So, I mean, do we have consensus for Carla to put in the definitions from the UN and to just use that? Is there anybody on this call who is opposed to that? Please speak now or put in an X in the chat room.
I put up a little, it's Cheryl here, I put up a little check mark earlier. I think there could be merit in articulating the level 3 and level 4 categories that Carla mentioned in this text in lines 111 to 112. So, yes, I'm all for using the UN definitions, but I think we need to state it's not just level 4, it's level 3 and level 4 from those defined criteria that we are discussing.
Okay, I see check marks and I see no X's, so I'm going to assume that we have consensus on that direction for Carla and we will move on from that. Andrew, go ahead.
Just a second, sorry. Yeah, can you hear me? Sorry.
Yes, Andrew.
Go ahead. Thanks. Just the only question I had is that there. I know it's a minority view, but there are some of us who want also to make it possible for people who are trying to serve these communities and these nations who may not be from those communities and nations. And I'm wondering whether we try to make that a part of this language or whether, because it's in the preamble, we just let it be.
Sorry, Cheryl here. Andrew, are you suggesting level 3 or level 4 categorized countries and their delegates for GPL?
No. I remember, Cheryl, there's some question about whether or not people from outside the communities who may wish to offer support to those communities especially where those communities may not yet be able to do for themselves, so that the applicants might not necessarily be from those countries, but might be in alliance with those groups, for example.
Tony, we've dealt with that in the heart of the recommendations. I don't think it belongs in the definitions.
Good enough. That's fine. I'm happy to let it go. I just wanted to flag it so we don't appear inconsistent. That's all.
No, I mean, your point is taken, and we do have a point in the document itself where we talk about the minority positions. It's just when we have a definition of what is a developing country, I think we can punch one definition back.
Oh, no. Okay, fair enough. Just keep that's fine. Keep going, please.
Carla, as I scroll down here, is there anything I don't see any other major text in yellow inside the recommendations. So as I don't really would prefer to revisit the recommendations since we appear to have nailed most of this down, what I
right.
would...
Evan, this is Carla. For the record, I did take some redundancies, standardized some language, and simplified some language, so I would ask the group to please take a look at all of the work that I did, and if there's still something that you believe is not according to the earlier discussions, I would be happy to change back. On line 468, on the next steps, you still have something in yellow because I wasn't clear what the group wanted to do here.
Okay, so on lines 468, which is in the next steps, we'll read the part that is in highlighted in yellow, and it was raised as a question, I think by Sebastian, but maybe by somebody else. But I want to be let's be clear about this. The line that is highlighted reads, and I quote, "There appeared to be full consensus on the following list of recommendations, but as the issue is really one for the chartering organizations, the issues were not discussed in any great depth." That is the area that's highlighted in yellow and definitely needs to be changed before we send this out in a report. So that is what's up for discussion this moment. Tijani, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
So we finish this point, and then I will speak.
Oh, you're not speaking to this point?
No, not to this point. I will speak to line 188.
Okay. All right, so right now we're dealing with lines 468 and this particular issue. Now, best as I can read out of this is that the issues being dealt with essentially are things that the working group is recommending to its sponsoring organizations that they're going to have to deal with. And so is there agreement within this group of that particular point? So, in other words, based on what I'm reading, it's just a matter of clarification and saying that the points that follow achieve consensus within the group, but their implementation is outside the scope of this work group and, in fact, needs to be taken on by the sponsoring organization. Is that an accurate reflection of this group?
Cheryl here, Evan.
Yes, go ahead.
I was earlier going to just suggest, delete what's in yellow. But with what you just said, perhaps delete what's in yellow and replace it with text that doesn't say the sponsoring organisations need to deal with these issues, but ICANN needs to ensure that the ICANN board needs to ensure that the ICANN community deals with these issues along with in terms of advising the implementation team for new GTLTs. In other words, it's work still needing to be done.
Okay. Then what we need to do, I guess, is wordsmith it so we can have something to this effect. So maybe we can change this to saying, the following recommendations achieved full consensus for consideration by the board as implementation requirements by staff in the community, or something like that?
Yeah, that's the flavour of what I think, having listened to our deliberations at this point, might be better to replace the text, because earlier on I was just going to say delete the text, but I think it should be delete the text and replace it with something.
Okay. Is there anybody on the call that can suggest some specific wording? Alan, you're really good at this. Do you have any ideas?
Not really.
Okay.
Gee, well, that's simple, Alan.
Is there anybody else on the call that can suggest something? I mean, essentially between what Cheryl has said and I've said, Carla, do you have enough perhaps to craft a line that will bring across what we were trying to do?
I'm not quite sure if I get it.
Okay. So to come back to this, what we were trying to say, I believe, is that the following recommendations achieve full consensus as directions to the ICANN board.
Can I help you here, Evan?
Please.
Remember that the preceding part there is referring to the potential of a joint team of staff and SOIC members. We already have the implementation team.
Okay.
Don't we need to tie these consensus points to consideration of the further consideration by the implementation team, and recommend that community input be sought on them?
Okay, that's, well, not only is that perfect, but it also serves as an initial task list for the implementation team. Okay, so there appear to be, okay, the following list of recommendations which have achieved full consensus are recommended as initial tasks for the implementation team and require further community input.
Happy with that language, but I would change your second recommendation to proposed.
Okay. Carla, are you okay with that?
I think so, yes. Thank you.
Okay, good. Is there anybody else that has any comments on this particular issue before we move on?
We need to go back up to 118, was it, rather than on?
I'm heading back there myself.
Tijani had raised that as a placeholder, I thought.
Okay, Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, Alan. Yes, Evan.
Hey, we are looking... Well, the only words that are highlighted is emerging markets and nations on lines 111 and 112, and I thought we dealt with that. I don't see anything else in yellow, so if there's something you want to help
me. Evan, do you hear me?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, so if you look to 188, you will find italic text that is not a decision or something which is waive the cost of program development and four applicants meeting, etc. It's all in italic. I don't understand why.
Carla, is there a reason why that's in italics?
I'm sorry, can you go back to it? It's
line 188. Italics.
188.
Page 8.
Oh, so there's a number of things in italic, like auction proceeds, lower registry fees, which seem to be, you know, just the short for that specific recommendation. It seems that the specific, each one of these bullet points or items here for cost reduction could have like a title head and then an explanation. That was the only reason why.
So for applicant meeting the criteria is not part of this of this chapeau, if you want. You understand?
Yeah.
The idea was just to highlight to just be easier to read. If you think the highlight is confusing because we are highlighting the wrong thing here, I just remove the italic.
Yeah, I think the issue, Carla, is that for most of the rest of them, that these little headers in italics are only one or two words, and this ends up being a whole sentence.
But it's only the first sentence, or is the whole paragraph?
No, I get it. So, Tijani, I wouldn't get too upset about being in italics. It's essentially trying to put the very first part of it as a little bit of a header, with the rest of the text as being descriptive. I don't think it means more than that.
It wasn't meant to mean more than.
Okay, Evan. I wanted only to understand because there is other italic in other places that I cannot understand the reason. So, no problem. If it is not for anything, it's not problem.
Yes, I mean the intention of the italics is not to make stress one point more than another, but I think so much is just to, you know, offer a little concise highlight of it at the beginning of the paragraph.
Okay.
Cheryl here, just in terms of convention, Carla, I wonder whether if something needs emphasis, it could be in perhaps, if this is in 11 point, it could be in 12. And if something is a quote, it could be in italics. That might assist Tijani's concerns about understanding the meanings of the formatting choices.
Okay. So if it wants me just to change back or remove italics that are not quotation, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, but if emphasis is intended, then perhaps finding another way to give emphasis and a mechanism that certainly I've used in other documents and seems to work is if the whole thing is in 11 point, make it 12 or 13.
Okay.
Thanks. Do you understand what I'm saying, Tijani? So there's a clear convention on the difference between emphasis and quotation.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're good. Okay. I will call attention to the next part, which is in yellow, which is in line 558. So, Carla, you've highlighted the words 2001 round. So I will read the entire sentence. I can't communicate it that the 2001 round was to be followed soon by new rounds. Nevertheless, it is taking almost a decade for new rounds to materialize. Carla, you've highlighted the words 2001 round. Please.
Highlighted, that was from the document, and when I read that, it's not taking consideration the 2003 round, and that was the reason I highlighted, because that statement is not correct.
And isn't that what Tony raised earlier?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Sebastian, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Depending on the way we read that, it's correct, because it's the same round, because it was an extension of the proof of concept 2003-2004. It was not a new round. Formally, now we can say this round with two phases, whatever we want to say, but it's not so false as it seems to be.
Can I get in the queue? This is Tony.
Go ahead. Speak now.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think it counts pretty much as a round. It was postponed several times, and not as long as the postponements we've had with this one. But I think we should try and work around this statement to make it a little more accurate.
Can we not just change 2001 to last round?
that would make more sense. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then we need to make the whole reference about taking a decade doesn't make sense.
That's true. Perhaps you could use something like an extensive period or,
almost,
you know, a long, so many, several years or something like that.
It's taking almost a decade, and if we're talking even from 2003, we're now coming up to the end of 2010, so we're talking 8 years.
Yeah, I'm happy to do the sort of rounding up story there. If
I think it's worth making the case that we're on the upper side of near a decade. It's not inaccurate.
Yeah.
But if we change 2001 to last round, I mean, we don't need to really do surgery on this, do we?
No.
Is anyone opposed to changing 2001 to last?
Works for me.
Okay. Moving right along, then the next part in yellow is another reference to developing economies on line 589. We've already addressed that. And, Carla, is there anything else that you wanted to call our attention to before I move us back to the FAQ?
No. Just on the very last page, which is page 31, Annex T, the description of the documents that should be part of Annex T, of the addenda, Avery added record on discussion on bundling removed from final report. I don't understand what this is. And why is it there?
Damned good question, Carla, because I know I missed a few meetings, but it's not gelling with me either.
We've had many discussions about bundling, but they were, you know, they didn't turn into a separate report.
Exactly.
We had the survey. The survey said it was not to be an appendix. It was to be part of the core report. It is part of the core report, so I guess we need to go back to Avery to explain that particular bit.
Andrew,
go ahead.
Yeah, Evan, I think you're right. I think that's just a remnant from an earlier version of this because it is included, and that doesn't seem to make any sense where it is now.
Yeah.
Okay, so pending a quick talk with Avery when she lands, that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Works for me.
Okay. All right. So what I'd like to do in the last part of this call is to draw everyone's attention to the frequently asked questions section, which starts at line 520. If only because it's probably one section of this document that we have given least attention to while we've been working. So, Jenny, go ahead.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I can now.
Okay, I wanted to clarify that in some cases we have full consensus, point consensus. So it is full consensus or consensus. It's not. It cannot be both.
Actually, it can be, Tijani. They're two different things. And
why?
If you're concerned about the definitions, I suggest you append the definitions as per the. It's not finalized yet, so there's still draft, but I'd call them final draft definitions in the GNSO guidelines for work groups.
To Jenny's standing, full consensus is either unanimity or unanimity with possibly minus one person.
Full consensus is full consensus. Consensus would be unanimity with one or two dissidents.
Okay.
I thought he was commenting that some of them have both categories.
That's it.
And I think that was left as a remnant from the drafting that we need to decide which is the appropriate one in any given case.
Okay, well, where is that? What lines? And then we can decide.
It's exactly what Alan said.
Yeah, well, which line are you seeing that
which
in,
line?
Tijani?
I have to go back to the text, but now I don't, I have to verify, but it exists.
sure it does, but let's deal with it.
Okay, so to Jenny, we're going to start talking about the frequently asked questions. While that's happening, I'm going to ask you and maybe anybody else who wants to, essentially just to have a look through the document and see where we might have an instance where we've accidentally put both simultaneously consensus and full consensus.
If we have
on an issue, there's no need to mention that it's consensus.
Yeah, that was the notation that Avery used before we decided, when it wasn't clear which it was.
Right.
So it's a remnant of that.
Okay, agreed. Okay, so what I'd like to do is, Carly, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Just for the record, I wanted to say that I reworded some of the questions, and to my understanding, you know, some of the answers, just for clarity. The rewording of the questions did not change the essence of the questions. I just felt that it was better to pose the question in a simpler way, especially because if this document is going to be translated, we need to be very careful in how we word things, and wording them in a simpler way at least gives us a better chance that things don't get lost in translation. So, for example, did we take this figure of $10,000 or $10 million out of the hat? Well, the term out of the hat doesn't really translate that well, so I changed things like that. This is just for the record.
Okay. Now, since there's a couple of people that don't have access to their screens, the FAQ section is a couple of pages, and I don't know if it's able to just read them all out loud. What I'm hoping to do is to find out if those of you that do have computer access and can spend a couple of minutes looking through the frequently asked questions section if you have not already done so, and see if there's any clarifications, matters of fact, matters of inaccuracy that exist. And we're essentially talking from pages 21 to 25, if I remember correctly. No, to 26.
24. End of 24.
At the end of 24, which goes into 25. That's actually quite a long answer. So the answer to that actually goes to the end of into 26, Cheryl.
There I have get back to 26. Bugger you, not you. There was a, in at least the last copy I read, and I must say it's not now. So let me get into the AC room space and go to page 26. I thought there was a point where we maintained. Yeah, here we are. Line 618. You've got 5.5, and it should be 4.5. Sorry, it was just a little bit of pedantry. Line 618 is marked 5.5. How did the work group decide? And it should be 4.5, not 5.5. How did the work group
resolve? Okay, so Carla, on line 618, 5.5 should be 4.5.
Yeah, I changed that. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. It's just a little bit of pedantry, but
anyway, just to recap, the line numbers we're talking about in the FAQ section go from lines 520, 520 to 660, 660.
Yeah, thank
those
you.
Are the lines that we're talking about right now in the FAQ section. Andrew, you've been patient. Go ahead.
Thanks very much. I just have a few. They're mostly very small. On 533, we've got the line that says, not delivering an inclusive report program in time for the first round would be a great disappointment. While I agree that would be true, I don't think that's particularly compelling for the board. I would prefer if we were to reference their own words or their own commitments, or leave that out entirely, just because it didn't strike me as to having the same tone as the rest of the document.
533? That's a good point, and a matter of judgment as opposed to fact. So I have no problem taking out that sentence between 532 and 533 in total.
Yeah. It's not that anybody on this call would disagree with that, but I want to make sure that we sound as serious in our presentation as we can, given the obstacles we're facing.
You're
right.
No,
I agree.
For disappointment.
Totally true. Yeah.
Okay. Another one. Line 546.
Hold on. Stop there. Is anyone opposed to removing the sentence at 532 and 533? Let's wrap this up before you move to the next one.
No.
Before you move, Evan, can I make one point? This is Carla speaking.
Go ahead. When
we make our statement here that this is something that has raised the hope, the only thing that we mention as a reference is that the board has recently expressed the need for the program to be inclusive. This is not quite true. The inclusiveness or the concern about the less developed countries is actually something that is earlier expressed in the policy. And the reason why I make that point is because people can look at this and say, wait a minute, this board resolution was done right now, you know, a few months ago, and we're not supposed to be stopping the new GTOD program or anything on the timeline because, you know, a few months ago there's a board resolution. You know, it's a matter of this is not an issue that is new. I think we don't make here a point that this is not a new thing.
No, I don't think anyone's disagreeing with that, Carla, but I agree with Tony's suggestion that using words like...
It's Andrew, but okay.
Sorry?
Yeah. It's Andrew.
It's Andrew. I'm Tony today for some reason, but that's okay.
Sorry, Andrew. Sorry.
No, not at all. I don't mean to insult Tony in any way.
You could be false.
Thank you. You
okay.
Called me on it, Don. Go ahead.
Okay. In any case, if we wish to make a statement about having raised expectations, I think that we would want to do it in a slightly more business-like fashion, but I'm not sure that necessarily is going to get us anything, so I recommend we pull it out.
Yeah, I agree that the word disappointment probably isn't useful in this tone of a document.
Right. Can I go to the next one, which is small?
Well,
I'm sorry. So the decision to remove the whole last sentence.
Okay, we get agreement to take that out, that sentence between not delivering and disappointment on lines 532 to 533. Is there any disagreement with taking that out? 3, 2, 1. Okay, that goes. Okay, go ahead.
Well, Tijani has an X.
Well, Andrew, go to your next point.
Okay, 546. We have informal market research indicates that there is built-up demand for new GTLDs, particularly IDN GTLD, should be a plural.
GTLD is. Yes.
GTLDs, because we're talking about built-up demand, which means that there's more than one, right?
Yep.
Okay. When we go...
546?
Yeah, 546.
End of the sentence on 546.
It's the last letter that is missing in the sentence that ends, the line that begins GTLDs, particularly IDN GTLD.
Yeah,
it should be GTLDs.
I see it. Carla, do you have that?
I do. Thank you.
Okay. Move on.
Next one. On line 549, we're talking about the one main concern is without some sort of assistance program, the most obvious and valuable name will be taken by wealthy investors. This would lead to an unfair process and leave little opportunity, blah, blah, blah. Again, the leading to an unfair process is a value judgment of the pen holder, and I don't think it helps our argument. It may hurt it. Why not just say this would limit, this would likely limit opportunities, especially in for applicants, especially in developing regions,
okay,
or something along that.
Okay.
The fact that it's fair or unfair is in the eye of the beholder, and it might interfere with the reading that we want to get.
Okay. I'm going to suggest dealing with that by changing the word would to may.
I think that the idea of calling it an unfair process is likely to may rankle some of the people that we want as an audience. I think unfair is unnecessarily loaded. And since the output really is what you're talking about is a limitation of opportunity for these people, let's focus on that. Whether it's fair or not you know, one man's fair is another man's, or is another woman's unfair. I'm not sure we need to go there.
Right. How about this? How about this may likely limit opportunities in developing regions for local community institutions and developing country entrepreneurs?
How about just say this may? If you say this may likely, you're supposing an outcome. If it does, if it leaves that door open, that's all we need to say, I think.
Okay, Carla, read back what you said, except for the word probably or likely.
This may limit opportunities in developing regions for local community institutions and developing country entrepreneurs.
I'm okay with that. Andrew?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Is anybody opposed to that minor change? Okay. Do you have something else?
I have one more, which is it's more question. It's on 641. We go down. Pardon me while I scroll. We're talking about the cost of translation, if I understand, and we've got 2 million. We've got 2,600,000. I believe that's meant to be 2.6 million. Is it not?
Well, no.
And 4.1 million. Because I don't think we're talking about $2,600, right?
So that's...
No, I don't...
To me.
Say it again. The way I read this was we're trying to tally up the total costs of, I guess it was translation support or something like that. Those can't be... Either we're missing a zero, which would make it $2.6 million and $4.1 million, or it's not clear in the way that it's written. As I read it.
Yeah, I didn't change what I had from Avery here, but I agree it was confusing.
So if you read it through with me real quickly, I want this to, if we're trying to be as exact as possible, up in 636, we're talking about one full-time person assigned to manage the program. In 635, we're talking about $1.2 million per year in terms of overhead assistance. And so then you go to 640, taking the previous calculations into account, the estimates reach between, I just think we're missing a zero in each case.
Okay. Carla, is this not something we can check out factually somewhere else?
Yeah, we can. This whole logic of the numbers comes from Avery, and honestly, I didn't test the logic. I just looked whether or not the sentences were coherent.
Sure.
But I didn't check the logic of the numbers. We need to check that.
It's Alan, regardless of the logic, the format they have there is not valid in an English language document. So
Correct. Something
needs
Correct.
To be fixed.
Either there needs to be a decimal place instead of the last comma, or there needs to be another zero.
Yes.
Yeah, I added another zero to 2,600,000 and then 4,100,000 too. Another zero in both.
And in fact, those are mostly expressed as 2.6 million and 4.1 million as opposed to spelling out all the zeros?
Thank you, Evan. That's exactly what I wanted to say. Yeah, you just do 2.6M. You know, you don't need all those zeros, as exciting as they are to look at.
Anyway, those are my points. Thank you very much for your patience.
No problem at all. That's
good point, Andrew. Thanks.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments, suggestions, clarifications? To Jenny, go ahead. You've raised
okay,
your hand.
I found...
So I'm not sure if you aren't... Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I found where we have both consensus and full consensus. It's on line 171. It's the very beginning.
Sorry, as I document my lines, get.
Okay, that's the very core one. There is consensus in the working group to release the following recommendations for approval by the sponsoring organizations.
That's funny. of all the things to have confusion about.
And actually, that almost makes a little bit of sense because that's the last thing to be determined. Once all the ink is dry on the document, do we have full consensus that this is organization? So that almost makes sense to keep that open until the very end. Alan, you've got your mark X there. Did you want to explain that?
It's Alan. It's fine to keep it for the end, but we should highlight it to make sure we don't forget it.
Mm.
Or at least add an or between the two.
I'll tell you what. Is there anyone here on this call that doesn't believe this should be forwarded to the supporting organizations? I mean, I'd like
to
resolve that now and say we have full consensus that this should be sent to the sponsoring organizations. Is that not reasonable?
It is reasonable, Evan, but I'm wondering whether we need that language of consensus or full consensus and rather more treat it as the preamble it is rather than some sort of weighted debate and value vote and just say the work group releases the following.
Evan?
I'm okay with that. Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, I had my hand to say we have to remove full consensus and consensus because inside the recommendation, each recommendation we say if there is consensus, full consensus, strong support, etc. This is the general statement to say those are the recommendations that we want to submit to the chartering organization and to the board. That's all.
Right, but there's a possibility, Tijani, that somebody may say, after all is said and done, this report shouldn't go.
Well,
I disagree with that, but that's a possibility. But I like what Cheryl was saying. In that this is not really a decision matter. The working group is releasing these recommendations.
Yep.
That's it.
It's not a judgment call.
Yeah. The work group releases the following recommendations for approval by the chartering organizations.
Yeah.
That's all line 171 to 172 needs to say.
That's absolutely fine with me. Does anybody here have a problem with that? If you disagree, put in an X or say so now. I have one check mark. And
quick, I've got to rush for my check marks. Ooh.
Well, okay. Essentially, I'm looking for X. I'm looking for dissension right now. Does anyone here
disagree? Evan, it's Alan. If you really want dissension, I'm sure we can offer some, but I don't think we will be on this issue.
don't tempt us, Evan. Come on. It's only 2:15 in some of our lives.
That's too easy. Okay.
Evan, this is Carla. So the working group releases the following recommendations for approval by the chartering organizations. That's how we're going to leave it, right?
Correct.
Perfect.
Okay. So, Tijani, thank you for catching that one. Now, does anybody have any other comments on the FAQs, or is there anything else? Because if that is the case, then we may just have finished this thing.
I still recommend we read through these FAQs because some of them I'm not sure we made all of the arguments that we should make. Just please take a look. Yes.
Okay. Well, since anybody who has gone through it right now has already given forth their suggestions, all of which have brought in, perhaps maybe we should take between now and Tuesday to give everybody a one last chance to look over and make sure they're comfortable that there's no inaccuracies and that the FAQ is sufficiently complete and accurate, and maybe we can just finally put this to bed on Tuesday. Does that sound reasonable to everybody? Take the weekend, take a last look over, make sure that, if we're all looking through it, more eyes will catch flaws. Okay, I have Tijani and Andrew. Tijani, go.
Yes, we have to do so during this weekend, and we have also to look in the comments because we will not.
Okay.
I don't want to get another week to finish this. So if we can, everybody, look at the comments, and next call we will discuss the comments plus the very the questions and the and answers.
So does anybody have a problem with essentially taking the week to go through this, go through the comments, go through the document as a whole, and especially pay attention to the FAQ? Come back, and on Tuesday we'll make our fine-tuning that's left, and with a little luck, by the end of Tuesday, we will have a document ready to send.
Quick question for you, Evan, if I could.
Go ahead.
When does this need to be in, and what's our send-in date?
Okay. The problem is that we have not really been given any hard and fast deadlines. We've been trying to do this as fast as possible to get this into staff before they do the new applicant guidebook. So
right.
It's understanding that they're working on one. They're trying to come up with one before Cartagena. Our goal is to put something in their hands as soon as possible in advance of that. There hasn't been a hard and fast deadline given to us, but the longer we take, the less likely there's a chance of anything getting in.
Yeah, well, on that basis,
then, are we in agreement that after our call on Tuesday, we will, barring any unforeseen major change or objection, we will be ready to send this thing in?
That is my full intention, and I hope everyone will.
Okay, and then the other question is related to the early part of our conversation, which is if we are assuming that we may not be getting the treatment from staff that we would like based on the work that we've done, we need to have the coordination such that the people who are representing us from the supporting agencies are going to be able to get in at the right time to make sure that the things that we send in are actually going to be getting the hearing that we're looking for. Is that timing correct as well?
Well, Andrew, I mean, we're in a bit of a strange situation because if our complaint is with the spin that staff put in front of the board, then
mm-hmm.
the same staff are the ones that are putting together the applicant guidebook. So, there's a little bit.
I guess that's why I'm asking, Evan, is whether there's a way we can play this back. Please.
And Andrew, that you've really got to bat that particular issue back over to your GNSO Council and the at-large advisory committee.
Okay.
Evan, may I just add a little bit of information?
Go right ahead.
We plan on posting the next iteration of the applicant guidebook, whether this is a proposed final or version 5. It's still under discussion, but we are planning on posting that by November 5th because we have certain deadlines that we need to meet for the board.
Exactly,
so
yes.
It's what we are trying to do for the applicant guidebook. Now, the board met
November
last
5th
night,
the week
night before. And they also are talking about timelines. And we don't have the board resolution from that meeting 2 days ago yet, but if you look at the agenda, there was a discussion about timelines. So I'm waiting to see what the resolution is and whether or not they further address anything from this working group in 2 days ago, basically. Maybe Katin could shed some light on that.
Okay.
So I just wanted to also make sure we understand that the translations of a document like that, because there's a huge queue in translations, that might take up to 10 days or more.
Okay. I would simply note November 5th is exactly 1 week from today. So what I'm going to suggest is make sure that, Carla, that you and any other appropriate staff are ready, that by the end of the call on Tuesday, there's nothing major, that almost immediately that document comes in hand.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Okay. All right.
The document is ready. I will be ready to post it. I'll have the announcement and everything ready to post. My understanding is the posting is for public, but then it would be posted in English with the additional languages following up later.
Okay.
That'll work.
Say, because time is of the essence, I mean, we may have very, very low expectations about how much of this are actually going to get into the guidebook between now and the 5th, but we still have to try. And we have to have, unless there's anybody that significantly disagrees on that point. Okay, Andrew, you still have your hand up? Is that, do you have more, or is that residual?
That's residual, sorry.
No problem. Okay, does anybody have any other comments before you take your homework and go off for the weekend? We are 50
minutes. I simply won't be doing my homework. I should report that.
Okay. We are just into the call.
The dog has already eaten my homework.
Yes. Well, I'm just happy that we've actually finished the call 15 minutes early before schedule. And so I guess I thank you all for coming. We'll see you on Tuesday, and let's see if we can wrap this pony up.
Looks good to me.
Okay.
Okay.
Great call, everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Sorry,
you had your hand up. That's okay, Evan. It's too late, but maybe you need to have a look to the sentence at the end of... because it was changed... and not discuss the change at the end of, I guess it's number two, about establish a publish separately or not separately, just to check that it was the agreement of everybody, this just part, because Tijani raised that at the last meeting and in the other document, and we didn't discuss it.
Evan?
Yes?
That's it. This is Glenn. Sorry. So there is a meeting on Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Sebastian, could you just make that point quickly and email to everyone because they missed it? So the sooner you do, the sooner we can...
No, I would like you to check if I am wrong or not, because it's not necessary I send a mail. If you think that it's done, I don't want to raise something that you think it's done. Just check. If you think that there's something to tweak, then send me a mail and I will send a mail to the list.
Okay. Personally, I don't think there is.
Okay, then go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
We don't need to put more work where we don't have work.
I'm not going to disagree with you there. Okay.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Louise?
Hello there.